Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Live from Bonn in Germany, this is Africa Link with me, Abubakar Jallo. Coming up, the fate of two Rwandan men accused of masterminding atrocities back home will be decided today by a court in Germany. Is this a fight against impunity?
It's a very good thing in the fight against denial of the genocide. And it's a very good thing in the interest of duty of memory of what happened in Rwanda.
And in Ghana, the police increased a crackdown on illegal fishing that many say has damaged the industry.
Fishing was only good at the beginning. Now, there is nothing in the sea, all because of light fishing. It is killing the business.
These stories plus learning by air coming in the next 25 minutes. Stay tuned.
Top story.
Two Rwandan men accused of committing several atrocities back home from their residence here in Germany are facing a court today in Stuttgart for a ruling of their alleged crimes. Inyas Murwena Shaka is a former leader of the rebel group the Democratic Forces for the Liberation of Rwanda, or FDLR, and Sreti Musoni was his deputy. The two are accused of war crimes and crimes against humanity, and if found guilty, they could face several years in prison. This is the first kind of trial to take place in Germany under the country's Code of Crimes Against International Law. But first, who are these two men? Sandra Ujo-Paraji and Happiness Matanji have more in this fact box.
Inyas Murwena Shaka was born in 1963 in Butare, Rwanda. The former leader of the Democratic Forces for the Liberation of Rwanda, FDLR, and his deputy Straton Musoni have been accused of masterminding atrocities in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo.
FDLR dates back to the genocide in Rwanda. It is regarded as a successor organization of the Rwandan Hutu Army that was responsible for the Rwandan genocide in 1994.
In November 2005, Murwena Shaka was blacklisted by the United Nations for violating an arms embargo aimed at promoting peace in the DRC and was banned from traveling, and his assets were frozen.
On May 26, 2006, investigations were opened against them for initial suspicion of involvement in crimes against humanity in the Eastern DRC, but the prosecution dropped charges. He was rearrested on November 17, 2009 by the German authorities.
The trial began on May 4, 2011, before the court in Stuttgart. Under Germany's Code of Crimes Against International Law, Murwena Shaka and Musoni face 26 counts of crimes against humanity and 39 counts of war crimes.
Murwena Shaka's lawyer, Ricarda Lang, argues that her client is not responsible for the crimes that he's accused of and wants him to be acquitted.
Sandra Ujo-Paraji and Happiness Matanji. This trial has sparked a debate online as to whether Western countries should be meddling into the affairs of African states, or can a country hold an individual to account for crimes committed in his home country. Thierry Gatate, a lawyer in Rwanda, has been discussing the significance of this trial with my colleague Jane Ayeko-Kumet.
These people are accused in two different places for two sets of crimes. They're accused in the DRC for their action that has to do with the terrorist movement called the FDLR. But on the other hand, they're accused in Rwanda for having participated in the genocide against Tutsis. In any event, as far as it's concerned now, it's a very good thing in the fight against denial of the genocide. And it's a very good thing in the interest of duty of memory of what happened in Rwanda. Because the FDLR is a movement that was created by people who committed genocide in Rwanda. It's very important for the fight against genocide ideology. And it's also critical to fighting for peace in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Some victims who testified against Murwanashyaka were flown from Rwanda to Germany. In terms of personal security, what is their fate back home in Rwanda, considering that the accused might still be having some supporters?
People in Rwanda going to testify against the FDLR in DRC should not have any problem in Rwanda. They're not supporters of that kind in Rwanda. They might be people who are related to Murwanashyaka and so on, but they are not in the capacity to harm anyone who testifies against.
Now, the defense lawyers have repeatedly criticized the trial and alleged that the indictment is meant to support statements made by UN officials and human rights activists. Does this allegation hold any truth?
If they said that the trial is to support only the allegations, in courts of law, allegations will not send you to jail. It's proof that will send you to jail.
How about the people of Rwanda and DRC? What do they think about the trial?
People of Rwanda see FDLR as a threat. Not a very strong threat, but a threat nonetheless. Ideologically, the existence of people who committed the genocide in Rwanda and who go outside the country create a movement aimed at what they call finishing the job. That means continue with the genocide agenda. That sends a terrible sign to the victims of a genocide that one of the main actors of those movements is put to trial in the international community, so in a foreign country. It's a very good thing to say, after all, there are some good people out there. They're not all evil.
So do you want to suggest that trying them in a German court is actually the right option, or would you have rather had them tried locally back home?
These people should be put to justice. Ideally, they should be transferred to Rwanda. But now, really, the greater good is that everyone who committed crimes gets his day in court.
Thierry Gatate, a lawyer and human rights activist based in Rwanda.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
In Winneba, central Ghana, fishing is the traditional occupation. But in the recent past, illegal fishermen have engaged in what is known as light fishing. This has angered fishermen and local authorities, forcing the police to start a crackdown on illegal fishing. Children have also been caught in the middle of this all as the country struggles to reduce child labor. Maxwell Souk has more.
...54-year-old Nyaniba is drying smoked fish on an improvised oven outside her house at Winneba, one of the traditional fishing communities located in central Ghana. Nyaniba has been a fishmonger since she was 24, and she says tables have turned and fish trading is no longer lucrative.
Back then, we fishmongers were richer than now. I'm now sitting here with nothing because business has gone bad.
Kukua also sells smoked fish and is also deeply affected by the dwindling fortunes in fishing.
We don't get fish to sell these days, so business is going down. I have children as well. Paying bills is a problem. So they should stop using the light for fishing.
Both fishmongers and fishermen in this coastal community have blamed the issue on aggregated fishing practice, including the use of light, chemicals and dynamite for fishing. Sea waves hit back and forth down the seashores and fishermen mend their fishing nets. Clement Ofusu is among them, and he is particularly worried about light fishing.
Fishing was only good at the beginning. Now, there is nothing in the sea, all because of light fishing. It is killing the business.
Aggregated fishing is criminal according to Ghana's laws, and using light during fishing is classified as one. Perpetrators can be jailed for years. Khalid Swali heads the Ministry of Fishery in the Northern Region.
It is illegal. In fact, our law is against light fishing. In fact, not only light fishing, any aggregating device that is used for fishing is against the law.
Statistics say about 60% of Ghana's protein intake comes from the fishing sector. The country's average export for fish is $254 million, and activities such as light fishing are weakening the sector. For Khalid, The issue looks paradoxical.
The very people who are crying, the fishermen, the fishmongers, are the very people who are either actively involved or are sponsoring some of these activities.
Next to me are a group of children removing fresh fish from the nest. Ganson Emmanuel is among them, and he says that is where he gets his daily bread from.
I make money catching fish. I buy my clothing and everything from fishing. I can't survive if I don't do this.
Study shows that apart from gold and cocoa farms, fishing communities are places where children are actively engaged to work. But this is against the International Labour Organization as well as Convention 182 of Ghana's Labour Act.
Maxwell Sook with that report. Now, the charity group for old people, Help Age International, has ranked Zambia as one of the 10 worst places to grow old. According to its recent Global Age Watch Index, the country's social and economic welfare does not facilitate proper care for seniors. The other African countries that also took the bottom of that index include Malawi, Mozambique, Tanzania, Uganda, and Rwanda. Katesi Kombe filed this report from Lusaka.
There are more than 800,000 elderly people in Zambia and more than a million neglected elderly people across sub-Saharan Africa, according to the United Nations Economic Commission on Africa. Help Age representative in Zambia, Edward Butler, says Zambia lacks proper infrastructure for old people.
Life expectancy isn't great. One of the reasons is the infrastructure does not lean towards having structured existence for long life. Basically, the amenities needed for someone to live longer are not noticeably evident in the structure that exists at present in Zambia.
Dorcas Maluba, a 60-year-old officer for the Senior Citizens Association looking into the welfare of old people, explains why the elderly have been neglected in Zambia.
These days, it's very difficult, especially with this HIV issue that has come into our lives. Most of our elderly people have lost people who are supposed to support them. In some families have been wiped out.
Margaret Peary, a 75-year-old woman, sells at a market store in order to earn a living.
If you abandon us, we go through many problems. For instance, we need food and other essentials. We would like to urge the government to look after us.
For Phyllis Chikola, program officer at the Platform for Social Security, a non-governmental organization, there's need for a clear social protection policy in Zambia.
A broader social protection policy that encompasses social assistance and encompasses social security as well.
Labour and Social Security Minister Faxon Shamenda agrees with Chikola on the need to establish social security schemes in Zambia aimed at looking after the welfare of vulnerable people in society.
We were in a mess. It may take us a little bit of time, but it will need consultations. There is no social security to talk about.
The Help Age survey measured income security, health, and whether someone has access to public transport, social connections, as well as their physical safety.
Katesi Kombe in Lusaka. It's time now to enjoy another episode of the Crossroads Generation, a Learning by Air production.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello there, and welcome back to the fourth season of Crossroads Generation, our ongoing radio drama about the challenges young Africans are facing.
We're standing at the crossroads, we're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future starts today.
This is episode 24, Don't Look Back in Anger. Last time, Mercy and Tina were asked by their boss at the radio station to prepare a show with a special focus.
For the next few shows, I want the two of you to focus on the effects the floods have had on the local population.
My mother had a shop that was washed away and it wasn't insured. I was wondering if perhaps I could interview her as an example of why it's important for people to insure their businesses.
It wasn't easy for Mercy to convince her mother Lulu to do the interview, but eventually she agreed. However, while Mercy's mother lost her shop, Nikki's mother lost her life in the raging waters. Now Nikki and his father have to prepare for the funeral. When the floods hit, Dan's father Kanyama was in Kisimba looking for him. Dan didn't know he was coming, and before Kanyama could contact his son, he was in a car accident caused by the rainstorm.
Help! Kanyama! Kanyama! Help! I can't swim!
Hold on to that route! I'm coming!
Watch out! Watch out for that log! Kanyama! Watch out! Help! Help!
His business partner Mukarabo was later found dead on the banks of the Tandika River. But so far, we don't know what happened to Kanyama. Today's episode starts at the hospital, where Dan has had to stay for a few days.
Hello, Mom?
Oh, Dan, it's so good to hear your voice. Are you okay? Where are you?
Yes, I'm fine. Well, I'm in hospital.
In hospital? Are you okay? What happened?
Nothing serious. Just a minor accident. Mom, is everything okay? You sound strange.
It's your dad, Dan. I think something terrible has happened to him.
What do you mean?
I lost contact with him when the floods hit.
There were floods in Laboria too?
No, not in Laboria. In Kisimba.
Mom, you're not making any sense. Why would Dad be affected by the floods in Kisimba?
Your dad was in Kisimba looking for you. Last time I spoke to him, he just arrived at Kisimba Airport. He was waiting for his friend Mukaraba.
Huh?
They were going to look for you. Now I can't reach him anymore. His phone is switched off. And I have a bad feeling.
What? Dad is in Kisimba? What is wrong with that old man? Eh? And you are telling me he knows Mukaraba?
Listen to me. This is no time for grudges. I saw on the news that Mukaraba was found dead in one of the rivers. I'm scared, Dan.
Mom, you know, I'm still in hospital.
Dan, for me, please. You know I'm far away and I can't travel over. Please.
All right. I'll do it. But you are not going to make me come home if that's what you two are up to. I have a life here, you know.
Just find my husband for me, Dan. Will you do that?
So, Mercy, what is this thing?
Mom, that's a microphone. When you speak, it picks up your voice so that it can be heard on the radio.
So, what do I do? Tina, you're carrying papers. Do I have to read? You know I can't read very well.
No, Mama Mercy, don't worry. These are just my notes to remind me what questions I want to ask you. We'll just talk about the difficulties you're facing now that your shop has been destroyed by the floods. That's all.
Okay, fine. Come on, let's do it. If only to show that naughty daughter of mine that I can. I mean, what kind of daughter is she? Instead of helping her mother, she's laughing at me.
Oh, Mom.
Nikki, my son, please pass me the insulin and turn on the radio.
Here you are, Dad.
And so, we are honored to have Lulu Msoto with us today to talk about how she's been affected. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the show, Lulu.
Thank you.
Lulu is a resident of Tandika, and until the other day, she owned a business here, selling vegetables. It was doing very well until disaster struck. Tell me, Lulu, what happened?
Isn't that your mother-in-law?
Yes, that's Mercy's mother.
Well, all I could do was watch as my business was swept away.
Mm-hmm.
A business that had taken me years to build disappeared in seconds, before my very eyes. And there was nothing I could do about
That's terrible.
Yeah.
A lot of people lost their livelihoods in the floods. Tell me, Lulu, was your business insured?
Until this happened, I could never see the point of getting insurance. I would say, mine is a small business, and that kind of insurance is for big businesses. And I can't afford it anyway. Now I really wish I had had it. If I had insured my business, I would have been given some money to start again.
Do many people have insurance in Tandika?
To tell you the truth, most people don't even know what it is. I learned about it from my own
daughter. That poor lady.
She was always telling me.
Nikki, you're going to have another burden to carry now that your mother-in-law has lost everything. Well, we'd better get down to why we are here. I need you to help me decide where to bury your mother. Our relatives want us to take her up country. I'd like to know what you have to say about that.
I'm not so sure Mother would have wanted to be buried up country. She liked the city.
I know what your mother wanted. The question is, where would you rather we buried her?
Definitely here, in the city. This is where we live, and we'd be able to visit her grave easily.
Okay, so that's settled then. As you know, in our African society, burials can be a cause of animosity.
Does that mean you want to bury her here as well?
Of course. I know this might create bad blood between us and our relatives, but the most important thing is that you and I are in agreement. Besides, it would be very difficult to transport a body up country in time. The rain has made all the streets impassable.
You know that Mama and I weren't the best of friends.
Yeah, well...
But I really miss her, Dad.
Yeah, me too, son. Me too.
Tan.
Yes, Tina?
What if the unidentified person the police found in the river is your dad? What will you do?
I don't know, Tina. I mean, we weren't on good terms, but he's still my dad.
Dan?
Yes?
I'm scared. I've never been to a morgue before.
You don't have to come in. You just wait for me here. I'll be out before you know it.
No, I'm coming with you.
You guys are waiting for me, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
My name is Officer Muruli.
We were told to wait here.
Ah, you must be Dan Kanyama, yeah?
Yes.
And you young lady,
She's Tina Wigo. She's with me.
Ah, I see. Okay, follow me. I have to warn you though, it's nasty in there. No place for weak stomachs, okay?
Okay.
So, you cover your nose with this. It will help with the smell.
Okay.
Here we are.
Oh my God. Dad, this smells so horrible.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll pull the body out of the freezer, and your job is just to tell us whether you recognize him as your dad. Nothing more. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
I'll pull him out then. I'll now pull back the covers. Sorry, young lady, you can use the bathroom at the back. Even those of us who work here never get used to the smell. Well done. Is it him?
No, it's not him.
Are you absolutely sure?
Yes. My dad has a long scar down the side of his face.
Okay then, I guess we are done here.
And we are also done for today. Are you as curious as we are to find out what's happened to Dan's father? Join us next time on Crossroads Generation. Nikki is also back with a new installment of his video blog, which you can watch on our website dw.de/LBE. Until next time, goodbye and take care.
And before we leave you, a reminder of our main stories. The fate of two Rwanda men accused of masterminding several atrocities back home in Rwanda will be decided today by a court in Germany. Ghanaian police have increased a crackdown on illegal fishing, and a charity group for old people, Help Age International, has ranked Zambia as one of the 10 worst places to grow old. For any response, please send us a text message to +49 160 957 59510, an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. I'm Abubakar Jallo in Bonn. Bye for now.